Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. I'm Eddie, your host, and you're watching The Deen Show. Thank you for tuning in. Today, on this week's show, we have a special young lady who was out there on MTV. She was a superstar pop sensation. I mean, drew crowds from all over by the tens of thousands and was at the top of the music chain. She was performing with people such as Justin Bieber, was it Jay Park, and all of these other pop culture music icons, but something was missing. It was missing, and fame couldn't fill that void. Money, status, she had all that. But something else did, and we're gonna be talking to her, Miss Nina. Why she left that lifestyle that people are running towards this lifestyle, the lifestyle that brings you peace, prosperity, contentment in this life, paradise in the next. And we're gonna hear her story. Coming up next, Miss Nina. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Deen, The Deen Show. This is The Deen, The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show. This is The Deen, The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show. This is The Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
And let us welcome with us on The Deen Show, Miss Nina. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. And how are you doing, sister Nina?
Alhamdulillah, I am doing very well. Thank you very much.
And thank you so much for being with us here on The Deen Show.
Oh, it is such an honor. Thank you so much for having me here. Alhamdulillah, you know, for reaching out, and inshallah, my story and inshallah, my words will be able to be a benefit to other people, and hopefully it could help other people as well. So inshallah.
Tell us, we're over here in the United States. Has The Deen Show reached your part of the world?
You know what? It has. And I actually tweeted about this, I think it was last week. And we have a Muslim channel, an Islamic channel here called TV Al Hijra, and when I switched it on, immediately it was The Deen Show, and I was like, alhamdulillah, amazing. And so I tweeted about it, and I think a week after, I received an email from The Deen Show. So mashallah, I'm very happy that your show has been going on. It has, honestly speaking, before I even put the hijab on, I was watching the show, and I was doing a lot of research about Islam, and you know, looking for my way and my path towards Islam. And alhamdulillah, it has been a really good journey, and thank you for having the show. You know, it's such an amazing show, and I hope that more people get to watch it and see it and know about it.
Thank you so much, Sister Nina. Sister Nina, tell us. People are excited. They want to know, the not yet Muslims, the Muslims, they want to know what was the turning point in your life now? The turning point that had you really start to research, reflect, and get you to where you are today. Please talk to us about this.
Well, you know, in my life, in my past one, I kind of call it past life because I would call myself a revert. You know, I was born a Muslim, but I didn't really practice much when I was young. And I think through the years, you know, I was an artist. I was a pop artist. I was a rapper. I did a lot of things on stage and all that. So anyway, that's the past life. And what really led me towards Islam and towards looking for knowledge really was, you know, I felt like I had something that was missing inside of me. You know, I was searching and reaching for goals of the dunya, and I didn't realize that it was just leading me to nowhere. And I think, you know, my brother passed away a few years ago, and that was probably one of the turning points that I had in my life, which kind of pushed me towards really understanding more about my deen, and that actually pushed me to actually start praying salah a few times a day. Once a day, first I started once a day. Then after that, alhamdulillah, you know, I met my husband, and he prays five times a day. You know, he's a good Muslim, alhamdulillah. And he taught me to pray five times a day, and he taught me to slowly try to read the Quran. And then from there, you know, my mom and dad, alhamdulillah, they're really supportive of me. They take me to Umrah, and after going for Umrah to Mecca and to Medina, it really, you know, really opened my heart and my eyes and just myself to you know, really wanting to become a better Muslim. So Hajj was really the other biggest turning point in my life, where I decided that I wanted to 100% submit myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to change my life completely, because I'm 33 years old right now, and you know, I've lived pretty much most of my life living for this dunya, and now it's all about trying to find a way where I can actually build a beautiful, beautiful eternal life in Jannah, inshallah. So, you know, seeking for knowledge, alhamdulillah, you know, Malaysia is such an amazing country. Like, we're basically a Muslim country, but we do respect other religions as well. We have Christianity, we have Buddhism, we have Hinduism, and all that. Alhamdulillah, we live here in peace. But I'm so happy that our government does support a lot of classes and Islamic classes that go on. We have Islamic universities here as well, alhamdulillah. So this past, actually, it's only been about 5 to 6 months since I've done my Hajj, and that was the time I decided to keep on my hijab. These past 6 months has been amazing, alhamdulillah. I've been able to actually go out and actually go out and listen to a lot of amazing scholars that have come to Malaysia, like Mufti Menk, Numan Ali Khan, Sheikh Kamal, Sheikh Saad, Sheikh Walid, and alhamdulillah, you know, it's may Allah grant them the highest levels of Jannah, and for everybody that teaches our deen the right way of the Sunnah and from the Quran and from Sahabat. It's just, you know, seeking for knowledge for me is, I'm a student of knowledge now. So that's my goal in life, inshallah. So, yeah.
Nina, tell us, you mentioned your brother who had passed away. Tell us a little bit about him, please.
My brother that passed away, well, he passed away when he was in his 40s.
Yeah.
He was a special child. He was born with a hole in the heart. And, you know, when he passed away, he had, he was married, he has one child, and she's 16 right now. She's doing so well in school, alhamdulillah. Her mother's such a beautiful woman. She's such a good Muslimah as well. And my brother died basically because of that condition, and it affected all of his other, organs in his body. And so, you know, inshallah, you know, I hope to see him in Jannah. My prayers are with him, inshallah.
Nina, if you can think back to when you found out your brother had died and that moment, what it felt like, because I know for myself and many people, the turning point was when someone close to him died. And you really start to really reflect, ponder, and think about that moment of death, that you'll be away from all your loved ones will be away from you, you're in the grave, the money can't save you, nothing. All the wealth you've amassed, that stays behind. You can't take it with you. And the reality kicks in, death. I'm really going to die. So share with us that experience when you had your brother who was very close to you when he passed. What was that like, so we can attain some benefit from that?
Okay, inshallah. Well, you know, I was close to my brother, and I never thought that, you know, at the time, nobody that was close to me ever passed away. I had no idea what it felt like to lose somebody that I loved. And when I got the phone call, I knew that he wasn't really doing well. But when I got the phone call and my mom told me that he's gone, he's passed away, I was like, what? I couldn't believe it. I thought I was dreaming. And, you know, to have somebody leave you just so, I don't know, I was heartbroken. I was lost. I didn't know really what to do, what to think. And then I thought to myself, like, you know, where is my brother now? Where did he go? You know, is he in heaven? Is he in his grave? At the time, I don't really know much about Islam. So, you know, we we said our prayers. We, you know, we cleaned him as we do, and then buried him, and then said all the prayers and everything. And then, you know, that at that point, I took a look at my life, and I really kind of tried to see, you know, honestly, I knew at the time that I took my life for granted. I took the people around me for granted, my family, especially my parents and my brother who left me, and I didn't even have time to even talk to him as much as I wanted to. And so, you know, I believe that if Allah takes something away from you that you love, He's really, you know, he Allah loves us because he's testing us. And so, you know, that was unfortunately, you know, it was my push towards the deen. Unfortunately, you know, my brother had to go, but, you know, inshallah, I'll see him in Jannah again. But that's the thing. The thing about death is, I actually asked myself this question a couple of months back when I went for this course called Heart Therapy. And, you know, there was a question that was asked: are you ready to die? If you die tomorrow, what would you do this next 24 hours? And would you be ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And, you know, if I asked my question back then, of course not. You know, who's ready to die? I mean, who wants to die? But this question is so important, like you were saying. You know, it reminds us of reality. And it reminds us that, yes, there is going to be a heaven and a hell. And it also reminds us that we need to, you know, start looking hard at our lives and seeing whether we're doing the right things that we need to do to be able to get to Jannah, and at the same time to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Akhirat. Because I know that my brother is in the grave right now. And I pray to Allah that he protects him in the grave from any torture or torment, and inshallah, Allah will have mercy on his soul, and may Allah have mercy on all of our souls.
Ameen. That's right. May the Creator of the heavens and earth have mercy on your brother, have mercy on all those who strive to please their Creator before they meet their Creator. May he guide us all to the truth, the way that's pleasing to him. Now tell us also, you mentioned that you had started praying one time a day, twice, three times. Finally, you got up to five times a day. Then you started wearing the hijab. Tell us how you made this wonderful progress.
Yes, that was pretty much the way that I kind of found my way towards, you know, learning about it more and understanding about it more and believing in it more. In actual fact, I, you know, praying once a day was, for me at the beginning, was kind of hard, but alhamdulillah, because my husband helped me out so much with this, alhamdulillah, I, you know, from once, twice to three times a day, you know, coming back from Hajj, alhamdulillah, I pray five times a day every day. And I think salah, being, you know, praying is one of the most fundamental things, is the most important thing to actually pull ourselves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I feel that every time that we pray, we are actually calling Allah, and we're connecting with him in such a direct way. And that is our source to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our du'as, our wishes. That's the time when we, you know, really connect to them. So I believe that anyone who starts praying, inshallah, they will get to know more about Islam and to go deeper and want to go deeper and know about the knowledge and the deen. And so, yes, you know, I alhamdulillah for salah and yeah.
My next question I have, Sister Nina, is the Hajj. We know that Islam, submission to the will of the Creator, not the creation, based on five pillars. One that you testified, there's nothing worthy of worship except the Creator, not the creation. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last and final messenger, and that would include Jesus, Moses, and all the preceding messenger. Pray five times a day. Give the poor due, the charity, the zakat, fasting during the month of Ramadan, and the Hajj. Let's get into the Hajj. When you went to Hajj, you mentioned that this was the turning point in your life. This is where you wanted to really take this for real. Tell us about this.
Okay, well, before I went to Hajj, you know, the last 3 or 4, 5 years of my life before Hajj, I was a solo artist and I had a couple of albums out. You know, I did a few songs with a few artists from around the world and all that. And so when my mom asked me to go to Hajj the first time a few years ago, I was like, Mom, sorry, I'm not ready yet. Because I have, you know, I was so involved in music and the dunya and all that, so I didn't really think about it too much. But I think about a year and a half ago, after I returned from Umrah with my family, she asked me again. And then I was like, I thought about it, and then I said, yes. You know, I don't know how, but I think Allah opened myself up towards, alhamdulillah, towards becoming, you know, towards doing the Hajj. And I knew that doing the Hajj is not, you know, it's not for fun. You know, I've heard of, and I've seen some people go for Hajj, they come back and not change. And what we wish for when we go for Hajj is a Haji that is mabrur, that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, I prepared myself. I went for my Quran classes. I went for Islamic classes, and just trying to prepare myself mentally, physically, emotionally, to really try to make sure that when I get there, it's all about ibadah. It's all about you know, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learning even more. And mashallah, when I was there for Hajj last year in October 2013, it was, oh my goodness, I don't know how to explain, you know, how to explain it in words, especially on the day of, I think it's called Wukuf, at Arafat. There's one day where all the angels come down to earth, and whoever is making dua at that time, after Zuhur until Maghrib, inshallah, the angels will carry your du'as up into heaven. And mashallah, and I could see everywhere, everybody wearing ihram. And it was such a humbling experience just to be a part of this ummah, you know, and to see that, you know, everybody is making tawbah and repenting and asking for forgiveness. And it was, you know, it was so moving. And alhamdulillah, I'm so happy that Allah had invited myself. And I went with my husband and my mom as well. And so, you know, alhamdulillah, he brought us there. And, you know, when I was in Mecca, it's funny because I was watching, there's one episode where you had Numan Ali Khan on the show, and he was talking about I think a sister, she was confused about the hijab. So I was watching that, and then I was watching a few other shows as well. And then I was thinking, I said, you know what, this is it. If I'm gonna do this right, I'm gonna have to do it the right way, which is, you know, as a Muslim, I should keep the hijab on. And if I didn't, I don't know. If I didn't go for Hajj, maybe I wouldn't be on right now. But alhamdulillah, it still is, and inshallah for forever. So I would recommend anybody who has the chance to go for Hajj, you know, instead of taking a holiday, going to, you know, the Bahamas or going to, you know, anywhere in the world, why don't you save your money and go for Hajj? Because it's life-changing. It is so life-changing. It is so amazing. It's I can't even really explain it. You know, it's the best time of my life, mashallah, you know, and to be there with my husband at the same time, it was, I think, our best date ever.
MashaAllah, it's really exciting listening to your story. Tell us, how do you deal with a lot of the misinformation, the false stereotypes that are out there about Islam and Muslims?
The false stereotypes. Okay, well, you know, I know that a lot, like around the world, everybody believes or thinks that Islam has got to do with, you know, terrorism, you know, is not a religion of peace, is oppressive against women, you know. Unfortunately, these are probably how a lot of people view Islam who don't really know about it. So, you know, in Malaysia, here in our country, it's not so bad because most people understand, most people here are Muslim, alhamdulillah. But there still are misconceptions, for example, in terms of the hijab. Just recently, there was World Hijab Day, a lot of sisters here in Malaysia are really, really supportive of World Hijab Day, because sometimes, even in our Muslim country, we do find a little bit of discrimination against the hijab as well. Not many job offers, for example, like being an air stewardess or working in certain companies, they will not hire you because you wear the hijab. So that's one kind of discrimination that we face here in Malaysia. But, you know, around the world, I really hope that those people who just kind of point fingers and say we're like this or like that, inshallah, you know, Allah guide them to find out more about the truth about our beautiful, beautiful religion. It's not about, you know, oppression. It's not about war. It's about peace. It's about love. It's balance. You know, it's our guidelines, you know, it's our guidance.
MashaAllah. Tell us, what advice do you have now for many young women, old women, even men who are struggling with a lot of the same issues you are struggling with? You have an emptiness in the heart. You don't have peace, contentment, and instead of praying five times a day, you call your boyfriend or girlfriend five times a day. And going crazy for Justin Bieber and the likes, and really not knowing that you need to change, but really not taking the matter serious and working more to please the creation instead of working to please the Creator. What advice do you have for people struggling with this? Talk to a sister, please.
Well, my advice for all my sisters, you know, who are struggling right now to make a change, to look into your, you know, your hearts, look into your hearts to make the change. I believe that, you know, in the beginning, you may be scared. You know, I was scared in the beginning as well. I was fearful about, you know, how my life could change, how it could be. But, instead of trying to impress everybody about the way you look, instead of trying to idolize, you know, artists like as if they are gods, you know, try to look into your heart and try to see what's missing. And that missing link is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. Take that first step. You know, it could be the smallest step. For example, like if you're a sister that likes to wear, you know, mini skirts and singlets, you know, maybe the next thing that you could do is try to wear something that covers your legs and your arms and your body, you know. Then after that, you know, inshallah, you know, maybe you can start, you know, contemplating your life. Sit down for like an hour and think about your life. Like, where are you now? You know, what is this life about? Who created this world, this beautiful world, this universe? Who created the heavens? Who created our heart? You know, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can try to connect with that, inshallah, he will allow you to start praying once a day, twice a day, you know, and you will see yourself changing a little bit here and there, you know. And Another piece of advice I like to give for my sisters is, you know, it's not, you know, honestly, the beauty, real beauty comes from inside, and I think it's the beauty of modesty as well, you know. It's the way you bring yourself and how you would carry yourself as a Muslim woman. So, you know, don't be scared about it, because, you know, you're not there's a lot of people out there who are struggling, and the fact that sisters are actually struggling, Allah loves you. Allah loves you more because you're struggling even more. And inshallah, you'll make that step. You'll take that step to being a better person, to being a better Muslim. It's not an easy thing. You know, every day it's a struggle. But remember, Allah is always listening to us, even though you don't know He's not listening, He is listening to you and what's in your heart. And if your intention really, truly is to change, He will help you change. You just have to reach out to Him, inshallah.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. Tell us, how important was it, sister, for your development, having good company around you, good friends? Talk to us about this.
Mm-hmm. you know, learning from my teachers, they tell me that your company and your friends are what make you. You know, so you go out and you hang out with people who have bad influence, then you're probably going to end up like them. But if you hang out with people who are good, you know, who are pious, who are righteous, who are truthful and honest, and good with good character, inshallah, you will also become like that. So, you know, who you hang out with are so important, just as important as your family. So I would definitely suggest, you know, sisters, to make sure you hang out and you make friends with the right people. But then again, don't forget about your friends who are with you, or who, you know what I mean? Like, who, don't forget about the friends who you think you feel that you can pull, you know, to the other side. Just because your friend is not of good character doesn't mean that your friend might not be in the future. So, you know, hopefully with a sister's change, you know, your friends will also, you know, tag along or come along. But friends are so important. I've noticed since my change as well, you know, I've been a lot, not say selective, but somehow or other, like, I find myself surrounded by people that I want to be surrounded with, you know, with sisters who are on the same page as me, and we're going out, you know, looking for Islamic knowledge, you know, and we meet each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn more. And then, you know, I'm still friends with my other girlfriends who I've been friends with since I was a kid, and they're not wearing hijab yet, but inshallah they will be soon, you know, since everybody around our circle is. So it's all about influence, good influence, and friends are that. Yeah.
Sister, tell us, before we come to an end, about how you feel now, as opposed to how you felt back then, when you were living a life of just chasing your desires, not living a life that was pleasing to your Creator. And many people are doing that now, and they don't have that peace. And we know that people such as Justin Bieber, you know, on Xanax, drugs, alcohol, their lives are upside down, but they have money, they have fame, but they're not happy. So you had all of that, but now you gave it up. Tell us about the feeling that you have now, that priceless feeling that people, they would spend all the money in their bank account to have, but you got it for free. Tell us about this.
Okay, well, you know, back then, I was searching for happiness in the wrong places. I was searching for happiness through my friends. I was searching for happiness through the career that I was pursuing in music, in performing. I was searching for happiness in just all of the wrong places, and you know, it really created a feeling of restlessness, of constantly searching for something but didn't know what, and you know, feeling depressed and lost at many times. Alhamdulillah, now that I have found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I feel so, not all the time, but inshallah, I feel at peace. You know, I know that Allah is with me, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I also feel, I feel love is surrounding me now, you know, as compared to before, where I was trying to search for love in the wrong places, where, you know, our first love is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, I feel content, you know, with my life, what Allah has given me, you know. Before this whole change, I was never really happy with what I had, even though I had everything in the world. You know, I wasn't even sure what it was I really wanted. You know, contentment, you know, feeling the ikhlas meaning, I don't know what's the word in English.
The sincerity.
Sincerity, thank you very much. You know, sincerity. About the things that I do, the decisions that I make. Before, like, I wouldn't even think, and I make a decision, and then I'll end up where I don't want to be. So now, you know, Allah has given me taqwa, knowing what's right and what is right and what is wrong. He's alhamdulillah given me I pray for ikhlas as well, for sincerity, for the things that we do. You know, nowadays when I make decisions, especially with my work, I have to know, okay, by me doing this, is this going to go against, is this going to be against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wishes? Is it against the sunnah of Quran? Or, you know, is it something that is going to lead to something bad? So I've never had this kind of thought process before, you know. And alhamdulillah, you know, it's really, really trying to find peace and happiness in life. And that peace, I believe, comes from praying five times a day, from doing the duties that you need to do as a Muslim. You know, pays your zakat, fasting during Ramadan, and going for Hajj, or maybe, you know, going for Umrah as well. And also, you know, building good character, you know, making sure that you're always in check with what's going on inside of you, and making sure that your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there at any given time. You know, there are special times, I read in the book that when you make dua, that Allah will listen to you and inshallah will accept it. So, you know, you can make dua at any time. You're driving in the car, if you're home, you know, Allah is everywhere. So that connection with Allah is what gives me peace. If I stopped that connection, I know that I wouldn't be around. I'd be left behind. So, you know, the key is to have that connection and to contemplate about where I am in my life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah.
MashaAllah. We've come to an end. Thank you so much for being with us here on The Deen Show. May the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah, reward you, keep you steadfast and far away from ever going back to that lifestyle. Keep you and your family blessed as He's blessed you with this guidance. It's such a gift. You can have the money, you can have the fame, but you know that Islam, submission to the will of the Creator, not the creation, is a gift. It's a priceless gift. And may the Creator keep you and keep me and keep all of us on this deen all the way to Jannah. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Eddie, for having me on the show. Jazakallahu khair. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much once again. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And that was Sister Nina. She went from pop culture, icon, pop music, singing, dancing, and having that celebrity status as a very famous musician, but something was missing. And as you can hear from her story, she's happy now. She's very happy. She's doing the right thing. And many people can relate to this, because many people, if not the majority, they want to be like the stars. They're reaching for the stars. And it doesn't matter what it takes. They're going through all sorts of obstacles to get that fame, to try to get that dollar, and end up worshiping the dollar, worshiping the fame, the fashion. But our life is not just about that. It's about a more important thing. This life is short, and we're here for a short amount of time. So it's about really knowing the purpose of life, learning it, living it, and dying upon it. And you've been led here to The Deen Show today, and I hope you've gotten a benefit from this young lady's story. And we pray that the Creator continues to guide her, guide us, and keeps us steadfast. Continue to turn into The Deen Show. You can follow us on our Twitter and check us out on our Facebook if you have any suggestions or some topics that you'd like to see us cover and some feedback. And until next time, we'll see you. Until then, God willing, peace be with you.